This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. You know that one friend who always finds the best travel deals? They pick the right cards, they somehow end up in first class for the price of coach. Smart Travel is like that friend, but in podcast form. They cover all things travel finance, like which travel cards are worth the annual fee and which just make your wallet heavier. When lounge access beats buying airport dinner for four. And when it makes sense to book flights with cash versus points. So don't travel dumb. Travel smart. Upgrade trips, not bills, with NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Welcome to the Travel Tales podcast.
The winners are the people with the most stories.
One of the great things about traveling is the people that you meet.
I've slept in bus stations, I've slept on people's floors.
And it's already on fire, and then there's just a gigantic, huge explosion, like out of a Hollywood movie.
It's not right or wrong, it's just different.
We hired like 10 Chinese prostitutes to come be our audience.
We were kidnapped by nuns in Puerto Rico.
Not a good idea to be high when you're packing. You forget a lot of stuff.
I got swine flu.
By the time you've lived through it, it's just a good story.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Travel Tales podcast. I'm your host, Mike Siegel. Thanks for listening. My guest today is Kathy Ladman. And before we get to Kathy, here's a few announcements. Go to our website. It's traveltalespodcast.com. And there you'll find some stories that I've written, some stories that some of the guests have written, some links to their social media. You'll find links to our social media, which is, of course, Travel Tales Podcast on Instagram. We have a Facebook page. You can find us on all your streaming devices, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you do listen to us on one of those formats, please give us a good rating because that helps more people find the show and boosts our presence there. And that's nice of you to do. If you think you'd be right for the show or know somebody who might be right for the show, or maybe you just want to write me and ask me some travel questions or just tell me I'm great, you can write me at traveltalespodcast@gmail.com. That's traveltalespodcast@gmail.com. Kathy Ladman is a hilarious comedian. I've worked with her a number of times at the Comedy Magic Club, and it's always great to run into her in the green room and catch up with where she's been. And of course, we're Facebook friends. And recently, I noticed that she and her boyfriend had just taken a European trip. And by all accounts, at least online, she looked like she had a great time. So I thought, what a great opportunity to get Kathy on the show. She's a comedian I've long admired. She's very funny. You can find out where she's been, where she's going, where she's playing at KathyLadman1 on Instagram, or just go to KathyLadman.com. But she's a well-established comedian, done The Tonight Show 10 times. She has a great story about Jerry Seinfeld that you're going to hear, and stick around for that. But she's always a pleasure to talk to, and I'm glad she could do this. So please enjoy my chat with the very funny and lovely Kathy Ladman. Kathy Ladman, world famous comedian.
World famous.
You're a big deal. I know you don't act like you're a big deal, but you are. You've done how many Tonight Shows did you do?
I've done 10 Tonight Shows.
10. That's amazing. And
yeah, there are people who've done more.
I know, but you know, I've done none, so that's pretty good. I did a late show.
I win then.
you did with Johnny though, didn't you?
I did it with Johnny and with Jay and with Jimmy and anyone else who starts with a J, except I did not do it with Jack Parr. I'm not that old.
We worked together a lot in Hermosa at the Comedy Magic Club.
Yes.
And I do follow you online, and I did notice that you just did a big trip to Europe. So this is a travel podcast. I could talk comedy all day with you, but we'll get to some road stories. Later on, but tell me about your European trip, because I followed it along online. You were very good about like posting. You're not
well,
everybody
yeah,
is.
But then now I'm a little behind, and I still have to post the last two locations because we just got too busy. But we started in Paris. This was with the purpose of this trip was to go with my boyfriend to celebrate my 70th birthday,
which is amazing because you look you do not look 70. You look fantastic.
But I am.
Well, that's great. A, that you're healthy and yes. You can do this because yes. A lot of people cannot. So that's great.
Yes.
And, you know, was this a first? First of all, this is a newish relationship, right?
Relationship. It's 2 years.
Okay.
So it's still, I mean, it's still kind of new, but it's 2 years is comfortable.
Travel is a big test of any relationship.
Yes. We had traveled before. We had been to New York for a week. We stayed in a hotel for a few days, and then we stayed with my sister and brother-in-law on Long Island for a few days. And that was a really nice time, and we traveled very well together then.
No, that's great.
But
that's kind of your stomping grounds, though. That's like familiar.
I know. So this was more of a test. We were gone for about 16 days, including travel days. We did 5 nights in Paris, 3 nights in Amsterdam, and we took the train from Paris to Amsterdam, and then we flew to Genoa, Italy, and we did a couple of nights in Cinque Terre, and then 4 nights in Florence.
That sounds great.
It was wonderful.
Had either of you been to any of these places before?
Yes. This was my third time in Paris, but I hadn't been to Europe in like 25 years.
Wow. Okay.
Which is insane, and will never happen again. First of all, because I'll probably be dead, but
not the way you're aging, Kathy. Come on, you'll be around.
No, that's
forever.
True. That's true. And then, but I can't. Travel is just too important to me. And my life did not support travel over the past couple of decades. But I'm glad to be changing that. And I'd been to Paris a few times. I had never been to Amsterdam, never been to Cinque Terre, and been to Florence. This was my third time to Florence, my fifth time to Italy. Now, Chuck had been to, he went to Europe like as a, you know, like a high school graduate with a bunch of his friends.
Sure.
So it was a very different type of trip.
And a different time.
But he he'd never been, I think he'd been to Paris, slept in the train station, got locked in the train station with his friends and slept in the train station. We did not do that this time.
No, I can't picture you two sleeping in the train
station. We skipped it. It was on the list, but we skipped it. I think he'd not been to any of the other places.
Okay, so you had traveled together before. Is one person into like the planner? Is one person the planner? Another person is just, I'll just go wherever. Or are you both kind of meticulous?
I think we both, he's more of a planner than I, but we both enjoy planning, and we really enjoyed planning this trip. It was so much fun to plan it. And he set up like a Google Doc and a Google spreadsheet. And, you know, he's very good at that. And then I could, you know, plug things in, and we plugged in links and did a lot of, I probably did most of the hotel researching, but we did a lot of it together, which was really fun. And so we were almost like, it was almost like old home week when we got there, because, you know, we had spent so much time and anticipation in planning it that it didn't feel so foreign. And I love Italy. And I expected that was going to be my favorite part of the trip. But my favorite part of the trip, and Chuck's also, was Paris.
Wow. Really? Okay. Because that's usually the opposite of what happens, because a lot of people build up Paris in their minds. You know, I've been there a number of times, but, you know, it's a huge city. It can be chaotic. Right. Some parts can be pretty rough. I mean, there are like, you know, there are pickpockets concerns, especially like in the metro and things like that.
Right.
But what about it, like, spoke to you that, you know, it's kind of...
You know, it could have been like a convergence of many things. It was our first stop.
It's romantic.
And it's Paris.
Yeah.
It's very romantic. And my birthday dinner was there, which was really fun. We went to Le Procope, which is the oldest working restaurant in France.
Oh, wow.
And it's where Ben Franklin used to go, and Voltaire and Napoleon even. And I mean, pretty interesting stuff.
How did you, what part of Paris did you stay in?
We stayed in the Latin Quarter.
Okay.
Right across the street from the Pantheon.
Oh, all right.
Not far from the Luxembourg Gardens.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right at the top of the hill where the Pantheon is, we had a great view of the Eiffel Tower. Never went to the Eiffel Tower, but we saw it, yeah. Which was even better than going there, in my opinion.
Yeah, sure.
We spent a day in the Marais, and I would stay there if I went back in the Marais. I really like that.
And you went in October, which is usually, I tell people, like much like New York, like maybe the best month to be there. How was the weather?
We had a couple of beautiful days. We had a couple of cloudy days. I don't think we had any rain in Paris. We had rain in Italy,
okay.
Which was a bummer. Not every day, but the weather was good. Amsterdam was cold. I bought a sweater and some gloves when I was there. It was colder than I thought it was going to be. The food in Paris was fantastic.
Of course, yeah.
And the food in Amsterdam was terrible. We didn't know where to go.
Yeah, the Dutch are not known for their.
No, their I mean cuisine. You don't go to Amsterdam and say, "I can't wait to eat some great
Dutch food." I can't wait to get the fries over and over again.
We had probably the worst meal, maybe even of my life. It was an Italian restaurant.
Oh no!
And it was so bad. It was so bad that we were considering asking the owner if he'd ever eaten Italian food. It was terrible.
Italian food takes effort. I mean,
I know the sauce was terrible. I mean, it's like they didn't even have to make a tomato sauce.
I think you just stick with the pastries in Holland, and then then you're pretty good. Yeah.
Yes.
And the beer, whatever.
And
are you like sober now, or you do wine at least, or how are you?
I drink. I don't drink a lot, but I drink. You know, I probably had something to drink every day while I was there, which is unusual for me because I don't drink every day.
Wine
at all?
Wine person.
I drink wine. Chuck is a beer guy, and loved the beer in Amsterdam.
Sure.
It was great. And I always have a taste of his beer because I like to taste a beer, but I don't like to drink a whole beer.
How about,
And then a couple of nights we had mixed drinks. At my birthday dinner, we had like really beautiful mixed drinks.
Mm-hmm. How about
just delicious?
You coffee people? Did you like have coffee?
Yes,
every day?
We definitely enjoyed more coffee than normal.
Sure, and gelato.
And since I've been back, more coffee than normal.
Did you take some home with you, or did you get a hookup of?
No, but I'm so tired that I feel like I'm taking it medicinally right now. Gelato was fantastic. Yeah, the gelato was so great. And I went back to the same gelato place that I've been to every time I've been to Florence, to Vivoli, which is very popular.
Right. Now, you were, you've been in comedy, what, 40 years or over 40?
44 years.
So, we've all been on the road quite a bit. I mean, we've seen certainly plenty of America, but did you ever perform overseas? Were you ever?
Well, I have. I performed in Australia.
Okay.
At a club in a Hilton in Melbourne. That was in 1989. It was a lot of fun. It's great to see the country. I've performed in Scotland a couple of times. I've performed in Israel. Have you been to Israel?
I have been to Israel. I did not perform, although I did while I was traveling through there. I ran into Avi Lieberman.
Oh, right. So that's where
did you do Avi's tour?
I did Avi's tour. But I've been to Israel 4 times total, but only performed there once. And then I also performed in London. And I think that's it. But I want to go back because I'm checking with some people who, if you have any tips for me, I would love to hear. I would love to just go back and do some clubs.
You said you did Scotland. Did you do the Fringe Festival? Did you do Edinburgh?
I did the Glasgow Festival and I did the Edinburgh Festival.
Oh, wow.
This was years ago.
Whenever I ask about comics doing Edinburgh, the Fringe Fest, they always say, yeah, it's great to do once for the experience, But yes, drawing crowds, I guess, is really, really hard. Ooh. There's a million shows. And how do you get people
really
out to your show?
It's really hard. And you know, I've been to Edinburgh twice, and once not during the festival. And it was way more pleasant to be there not during the festival.
It's crazy.
The population explodes, like inflates like 10 times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And was this in the 80s? Did you do it, or did 90s?
Yeah, it was in the late. It would have been in the late 80s. Yes.
Okay. But you were, I mean, did you have a one-person show, or were you?
No, I did stand up on it. Larry Amoros and I did a show together.
Oh, okay. Wow. There's
really,
a name I haven't heard.
We had a great time.
I'm sure.
We had a great time. You know, we knew each other from New York. We shared a flat, and we just, you know, and then we, you know, we had friends who were playing there in other shows, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, that seems, yeah, I hear great stories from it, and just like the hanging out part seems a lot more fun than the actual doing the shows.
Yeah, it was hard. And we had we were at the Gilded Balloon at 7:15 in the evening, and it was very hard for us to pull in crowds.
And you got
to
do all your own promotion and everything else, right?
Yes, it was. But we did have a producer. We did have a producer, so we were lucky about that.
Were you there for like just 1 week or the whole month, or how did you do it?
I think it was the whole month.
Oh, wow.
At least 3 weeks.
Sheesh.
If not the whole month. Yeah. It was a long time.
Oh, man. Okay.
It was a long time.
So did you learn anything in this? We'll go back to this Europe trip. Did you learn anything about Chuck as a traveler during this trip that you didn't know before you left? And he, you?
Not really.
Okay. That's good.
I think he was as game. I mean, we had a couple of arguments, but we got through them. And then towards the end, I was irritated with him, and I found myself making faces at him while he wasn't looking. Very mature.
Exactly.
Very mature.
Have you embraced the new apps? I mean, are you using like Google Translate, or are you using like
Things? And I speak a little bit of French.
Oh, good.
So that helped me. And I spoke a very little bit of Italian. I brushed up with Duolingo on both of them, but I had more facility with French because I had studied it in high school, and I just have used it more.
What was your history of international travel? Did your family ever go? Like, I never left the country till I was 21 after college. So,
well, the first time I ever left the country, it was when I went to Israel. I was 15 years old.
Is that the birthright thing? Or is it the...
No, it wasn't birthright. It was, I don't even think they had birthright back then. This was 1971.
Okay.
And this is an interesting story because that's where I met Jerry Seinfeld. And we were on the same tour together, and he was my first boyfriend.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it happened on that trip?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I told him that I was going to be a comedian, and I told him he would make a great comedian.
That's amazing.
How do you like that?
That is amazing. Wait, so you're both same town in Long Island?
No, he actually grew up in the town adjacent to where my father's bowling alley was. My father owned a bowling alley.
Okay.
On Long Island. We lived 25 miles away from there in Queens,
okay.
New York.
Was it Massapequa or something like that?
Jerry grew up in Massapequa, and my dad's bowling alley was in Massapequa Park, just next door.
I'm trying to picture were you guys 13, you said? Or what was
it? No, I was 15. He was 16.
Oh, my God. Just the two of you walking around. What is the deal with these temples? I mean, what was he like as a teenager? What were you like?
He was very funny. He was
socially awkward. You could say it.
No, he wasn't socially awkward. I would have to say he was enamored of me. With me.
Oh,
he was enamored of or enamored with. It was a great first love.
That's
really
fantastic.
Was. And it was a very formative relationship in our lives because we still both remember how important we were as far as being first loves, and then also being formative in our comedy lives.
So you were both living in the city at the same time and started the clubs at the same time?
No, he started at the tail end of his days at Queens College, and I had a way more circuitous start. I had a very rough time as a young adult. I developed an eating disorder in my early 20s, and I was back living with my parents. I was in family therapy. So I didn't start doing stand-up until I was about 25. But Jerry mentored me then, you know, when he was about 5 years into it by then. And he mentored me. He was living in LA at the time, and we would talk on the phone occasionally, write letters back and forth. And
that's great.
So
what a great story.
It was very, very special. Definitely very special.
And the eating, you know, I got to say, you still have one of my favorite jokes of all time, and I make you do it all the time. Every time I see you, I tell you, this is the anorexia joke.
About the health insurance.
Yeah. God damn it. That is the best. I'm not going to make you do it, but I think it's the only,
I did a solo show about my eating disorder, but I think that joke is the only jokey joke about anorexia that I was able to fashion.
Oh.
It's delicate. It's a very delicate thing because it repulses people on the one hand, it intrigues people on another hand, and it's a killer disease.
Yeah.
So I never wanted to be glib about the topic.
Well, now that I brought it up, people are screaming at their phone going, what is the joke? So can you tell me the joke?
Want me to do it?
Yeah, can you?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I say that, I haven't done it in a long time. I say that,
they turned you down. You couldn't get health insurance.
I was turned down for health insurance because I have a history of anorexia. Well, that's what they said. I know why they really turned me down is because I'm fat.
Gets me every time.
That was it, right?
Yes.
That was it.
God damn it. I love that joke. That is so great. That is that's what we call a great piece of business, Kathy. That is hysterical. But you're still not an issue. Like, you know, you're presented is it triggering seeing you go to Italy and they just shove pasta and gelato in your face? I mean,
triggering.
It is.
It's triggering. But, you know, I'll tell you something. Nobody ever says to me anymore, boy, I wish I was skinny like you, or you're so skinny, or I look like a normal person now. Which kind of pisses me off because I still have that part of my brain that wants to be extra skinny, but I don't listen to it anymore. And, I don't practice the disease. I don't do what I did to get skinny.
Right.
So, you know, I don't deprive myself of food. I don't eat everything I see, but I mean, I eat normally. I eat meals now. I eat three meals a day, and I like it. I used to like, oh my God, I used to, the machinations I would go through to not have a meal. If somebody asked me to have lunch and I already had breakfast, I would have to lie and say that I had plans. And, you know, it was just, it took a lot of effort.
Yeah.
A lot of effort to be sick.
Yeah. And, you know, but now that you say you're normal, but I mean, for America, you are thin. And it is jarring when you go overseas and then you come back and you land in the airport in America. You're like, oh, Jesus, we got a real problem.
I know you land
here.
In the airport, but then you bounce off of someone. So it's nice. It's pretty pathetic. I mean, Chuck was noticing that he goes, boy, people are really not overweight here.
Yeah, it is.
And
it is
really
shocking.
Not, and they have great food.
Yeah, which makes you wonder what the crap we're eating.
Well, we're eating all this processed shit, you know, that you can't, your body just doesn't assimilate.
Is there one thing every time you go to, say, France or Italy that just like the first thing you order? What is there one dish that you just go, I got to have this?
Well, I mean, France, I just look forward to the croissants.
Yeah. Bread. The bread is killer, man.
The bread is so good. And then in Italy, well, there's the gelato and everything in Italy.
Sure.
There's nothing. Oh God. The first night when we got to, Cinque Terre, we stayed in Rio Maggiore and it was raining and it's, you know, a hillside community. So it's like you climb up It was raining and we had to basically climb up a mountain dragging our suitcases. Oh, and it was so upsetting and we were hungry and we didn't know where to eat. And we finally were, our host took us to, she didn't speak English and her grandmother actually didn't speak English. And her grandmother came back and took us, led us towards the center of town. And we had such a meal. Oh my God. Like, I don't even know if, like, part of it was probably a combination of us being so starving.
Sure.
But it was, on an objective basis, it was delicious. We got a swordfish ceviche.
Ooh.
Which was unbelievable. I've never even had ceviche that looked like that. It was on a plate. I wish I could, can I drop a picture anywhere here?
Well, you could send it. Yeah, you could send it to me. No, I mean, we're not live and we're not using
I can't. Oh, okay. No, that's right.
We're not doing the video.
That's right.
I know.
It was just a plate of swordfish ceviche. It was amazing. And then we had a pesto, which is the pesto region that we were in, mm-hmm. Pesto Genovese. And it was beautiful to look at and delicious to taste. All the that's the thing about Italian food. It's just gorgeous and delicious.
Right. How is he and how are you on walking, you know, 10,000 steps a day and up and down the top of the hill streets and everything else?
I'm great at it. I think he was having a little bit more of a challenging time because he's having a couple of things dealt with it with his, he has a valve in his leg, in each leg was making his feet hot. It was the weirdest thing. I know.
Okay.
But it's apparently a very common thing. And he had one of them fixed. Then next week he's getting the other one fixed. So that was a little bit of a challenge for him, but we averaged about 11,000 steps a day.
Yeah. And then makes the gelato worth it. it's okay. So I haven't been to Cinque Terre. I've been to Amalfi Coast.
Oh, I've been to Amalfi too.
They seem similar. Do you prefer one of the over the other?
Well, Cinque Terre is a more constant. They're closer together.
It's five little hilltop towns along the coast,
right? And you can take a train through, and you can hike through. And we hiked from Vernazza to Cornelia, and that was pretty hard.
Oh, really?
It was great.
Okay.
It was really hard.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, there's a wall. And then you're hiking on this old trail. I mean, it's an old trail. And then there's no wall. And Mr. Chuck would say, and to our right, instant death. I said, it's not instant death. He said, look at it. I said, no, you'd get caught in the foliage. You'd get stuck. You wouldn't be dying. Anyway. We really had a great time. My God.
Yeah, that sounds fun. So, you were there, you took trains mostly, no flights in
one flight from Amsterdam to Genoa.
Okay. Now Genoa, I have not been to. So
yeah, I mean, we didn't spend any time there. We just took a train to Rio Maggiore from there.
Okay. How long of a train ride is that?
A couple hours maybe.
Right.
Something like that.
You grew up as a New Yorker on the train, but I mean, do you?
Well, in subways, yeah.
Well, sure.
Right.
But I mean, no stranger to metro systems and train travel.
Oh, and get this. We took a bus because I do love public transportation. We took a bus from Fiesole, which is a northern suburb of Florence, down to Florence. And one of the buses, and it's packed, you know, we're like, just, we can't even move. And these authorities get on at one point, they look at me and they say, where are your tickets? And I give him my tickets. He says, let me see your ID. I said, okay. And I give him my ID. And then a couple of, he says, you have to punch the ticket. I said, well, we didn't know that. He says, so we get off and he said, he showed me the ticket's supposed to have a hole in it. You're supposed to punch the ticket. He gives us a fine, 40 euros each, $93.
Come on. Spot, or is this like a bribe, or is this like a?
On the spot.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Is this, this sounds like BS.
Machine. He had a credit card machine. He said, is it you paying cash or euros or card? I said, card.
Yeah.
I was so pissed. I was so pissed. And then I was crying at the same time.
Oh,
I know. That's terrible.
That stinks. Yeah, that sounds like a hustle. I think they purposely...
It was definitely a hustle.
Yeah, they don't need to punch that ticket.
It says right there on the ticket, and the ticket is like this big.
Yeah, right.
The ticket's this big, and the print is like that big, and it's in Italian.
Yeah, of course.
So, I mean, it was stupid.
Yeah, that was a shakedown. They saw you. They heard you talking on the bus, and they're like, hey,
they heard my New York accent, and we said, we're getting that lady.
They said, is that Kathy Labner from The Tonight Show?
I think not.
I love her. She's got big bucks. So if it was October, it's technically not prime tourist season. How crowded were things? I mean,
Florence was really crowded.
Yeah, that's always really, that's tough.
It's really, and I hadn't been to Florence for about 30, 35 years, and it was not the Florence I remembered.
Nothing is.
It was way crowded. Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Paris was not like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Florence is just, they have like, it's a smaller city, but it's also people are going to see the same things. You know, everybody's going, at least in Paris, you can, yeah, Roma. There's the big things, but you can spread it out a little. But Florence, everybody's going to those four.
And they're all concentrated.
Yeah. So right. It gets nuts. And I don't know how far it is. I got to double check how far it is from the shore, but God help you if you're in a place where, you know, cruise ships come in.
Oh, well, that was right.
And it's going to be jammed. Like Venice is, they finally put their foot down.
You do that, right? Do you do that?
Cruises?
Yeah, but do you go to Europe on cruises?
I've only done one or two, a couple in Europe. But next August, I have all booked in Europe.
Oh my God, so, you're lucky.
Yeah, but it's going to be bouncing around a bit. But it's going to be, yeah, I'm going to be in Italy and I think Greece and Turkey and
nice.
Ireland and yeah, it's gonna be a lot.
God.
I'm looking forward to it.
So great.
Yeah. How about cruises? Did you ever do them?
I don't think, you know, I haven't found, I did them in the 80s and it worked well. When I try to do them a little bit later, we did not do well together, cruises and I, but I would like to, I mean, there are cruise lines that I probably would do better on.
Oh yeah, I know a couple that you would kill on.
Are you serious?
Of course, because it's
okay.
It's your.
I just thought I sensed your eyes going like this.
No. But you are there. You're the age of the passengers. You know what I mean?
I know.
It's your people. It's you got a lot.
When we're off the air, you can turn me on to those because I would love. I would love to get back on the right cruises.
Yeah.
Because I love to travel.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I love it.
And some of the ones in the 80s, which ones did you work and did you have a bad experience?
Royal Viking. No, it was great.
Okay.
I did great on the Royal Viking and Royal Caribbean.
Okay. So you were, when did you stop like doing the road full time? Would you say when did you take yourself off the road?
No, I still do like performing arts centers, but that's gotten. I'm in a dip right now where I'm not doing much road stuff. But I will go out and do performing arts centers. Not many clubs.
Okay,
I kind of phased myself out of clubs because it just became not my venue.
Yeah, no, we age ourselves out of it. I mean, it just
yeah.
You age out of colleges, and then it's clubs, and then and now we're on cruise ships and convention centers.
I've never done great to younger audiences, even when I was in my 20s and 30s. I've always done better with more mature audiences.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know, I never did well with the drinking audience.
Well, talk about that. Know. Give us like a road story of one of the worst hell gigs you ever did. And where in the country was it?
Well, I can tell you something very early on, a year into my career. I'll never forget this. I did. I was in New York and I was booked to do this gig in Ambler, Pennsylvania by someone that I still know. He was who booked it. And I was still very nice, you know, and polite on stage. I wore a skirt.
Oh, that's adorable.
I know. I wore a skirt. and it was a very rough room. And initially I get on stage and it's quiet. And then it starts a murmur in the room. And then it's getting louder and louder. And then things start hitting the stage like objects.
Oh, God.
Start hitting the stage. And at that point, I said, this is how green I was and what low self-esteem I displayed here. I put the mic back in the stand and I said, and I thanked them. I thanked them. How could I thank
them? Thanks, everybody, for throwing shit at me.
Thank you so much for throwing things at me and missing. And then I got off the stage, and then my friend, my best friend, who's still my best friend of close to 50 years now, she and I went out to a Friendly's restaurant. Oh, I don't know if you know Friendly's.
Oh, yeah, I know. Sure.
Where are you from originally?
Chicago. But okay. I had my grandmother lived, and my mom is from Connecticut. So whenever we'd visit Connecticut, my grandmother would take us to Friendly's for ice cream.
Friendly's.
Yeah.
For a fribble.
A fribble, yes.
And, right. So we sat at a Friendly's because my train to New York wasn't until 12:30 in the morning. And I cried, and she was crying too. And she wrote on a napkin, "You are very funny. If you ever need to know, just call me and I'll tell you." Oh, and I kept that napkin for so long. And in all the times that I've moved, I don't know where it is right now. Maybe it'll turn up, but I'll never forget that. That was, you know, she's my friend whose name is also Kathy, has been with me through lots of ups and downs. And we continue to be with each other through ups and downs, you know.
What was the years like? How many gigs in a year did you do that was the most? I think I did about 40 before I moved out here.
You mean I've never counted, believe it or not.
I mean, but it was like full time every week. I mean, there was
there were months when I was working 3 weeks out of the month. And, you know, yeah, it was, I mean, I don't know if I ever hit 40. That seems close to it,
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah. I mean,
it was brutal.
Yeah. I mean, as a woman too, that drives a lot of very
when you were a woman.
Well, I know.
How did you handle it when you were a woman?
It was rough.
It was harder, wasn't it?
Things thrown at me. I apologize. I'm thanking them for throwing things at me.
That's right. That's what happens. And smiling.
But yeah, I know. Yeah. But I've never met a female comic who didn't have at least one kind of scary incident on the road, like being followed to your car or something. Was there?
Oh, that's never happened to me.
Okay.
I've worked for club owners who've been disgusting.
Oh, sure.
And would never want to work with them again.
Or the condos, sharing the condos with.
Oh God, you know. Do you remember Dave Anderson?
I know the name.
He was from Portland.
Okay, a booker.
He's no longer with us. No, he's a comedian.
Okay,
he died. About 10 years ago or so. But he and I were dear friends, and we worked together in Sacramento one time, and we stayed in the condo was a house.
Uh-huh.
And we all the beds had like this plastic coating, so when you moved on it, it would crackle.
Oh yeah.
So we called it the crackle bed, and we made up these. We started doing like a series of commercials about it, and we would use newspaper as the sound effect. And we'd say how great the crackle bed was, and how wonderful it was to sleep in it, and you would wake up to the crackling, and you know whatever the hell we did. But the condos were disgusting. And then I remember there was this other condo in Oklahoma City that it was a seven day gig, and you had a car. So the car was being used 7 days a week and was never maintained. I mean, it was like driving on ice. I mean, completely bald tires. I mean, it was terribly dangerous.
Is there another trip planned Like you and Chuck, you come home from this and going, you know what?
We have to plan our next trip. But we're talking about it. He's a diver.
Oh, so, yeah, so am I.
He wants to go. He loves to dive in the Caymans.
Oh, okay.
And his family, his friends who are like family to him, they're all planning a trip next November. And he really wants me to go. And I'd like to go, but I'm not going to be diving.
Okay.
But I could snorkel. I mean, there's other things I could do.
So you are, you know, you're okay to get out there and be active, and you're an outdoorsy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because not everybody is, you know, and that's tough on couples. Can be.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely an active person. And I'm not going to get certified as a diver. You know, I don't, and I'm not an ocean person. I have to say that it's a little bit deep for me. The ocean's a little deep. A little deep and a little dark.
I get it.
Yes.
But the Caymans is beautiful and, you know, one of your pricier islands. I hope they did okay during this last hurricane. Jamaica got
hit. I didn't hear that they were hit. I know. Yeah.
I'm supposed to go to Jamaica and on a ship next month. So,
I'm hoping.
I don't know. It's still so far, you know, it's still a go. But
where in Jamaica do you?
Montego Bay. I'm supposed to meet a ship down there in December. So. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm watching it all the time to see, you know, I don't know if the ships have diverted. Hopefully they'll have a month to, because they need the money. You know, they don't want to bring tourists to a place that's destroyed, but they also, I mean, it's a huge part of their economy, so they need the help. So it's a double-edged thing. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But do you have a dream, like a bucket list place that you've always wanted to go?
Yes. Africa.
Oh,
I really want to go to Africa. I really want to see animals and I just want to see like a different kind of life.
Never been. You've never been, huh?
I've never been to Africa.
Oh yeah.
I've also never been to South America.
You're kidding. That seems interesting.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
I've never been. And there are places that, I mean, my friend Debbie went to Machu Picchu last year and you know, as the years go by, it becomes less and less likely that I'll go because it's a strenuous hike up there.
Well, you don't you can cheat it though. You don't have to do the hike. You don't have to do the Inca Trail. I don't know if she did that for like that 4-day hike.
Oh, I don't think she did.
No, you can take a train up there, and you can take.
Oh,
a bus.
Okay.
So you can do it. You know, I didn't do the hike.
Oh, I think she did. I think she did hike.
Yeah.
But anyway,
you're healthy enough. If you can hike around Cinque Terre, you can take the train up to Machu Picchu. Yeah, you can do it.
And I've never been to Alaska. And I was like all set to go to Alaska on these cruises. And then I got fired from the entire cruise line. So
you got fired. Did you get fired or just was there one incident that was just like, or did you get
reviews
or something?
I didn't do well. It was like post COVID?
Oh, really? So it was recently?
No, was it post-COVID? I think it may have been post-COVID.
Because that's only been the last couple of years they've been going post-COVID. So
then maybe not. Then maybe not. I'd have to get back to you and your listeners on this. But please don't hold me to that. But it wasn't that far. It wasn't that long ago. And I just had a terrible, terrible show. And got complaints and
really?
They would,
But you're at the very least, you're clean, you know,
I'm clean.
And that's surprising to me. It's like, I'm not destroying on these ships, but I think that they're more afraid of complaints than they are of you. They'd rather have you just do meh and okay and get zero reviews.
And I don't know what it was. Anti-Semitism,
there
perhaps?
It is. Damn it. Yes.
That's right.
You didn't talk
about
politics.
We like to end every podcast with a segment on anti-Semitism.
Yeah, you didn't do any politics or anything, did you? Because that'll get you thrown off now.
Now
especially. So did you...
And not even religion.
Yeah.
I don't even think I did any religion stuff.
Yeah, I know. You don't know what's going to set people off anymore.
I don't know.
But if you, like, looking ahead, would you go back on the road, like, is there It's hard now. I mean,
it's hard. I mean, I do like doing these performing arts centers, the small performing arts centers. That's fun.
Are you doing solo? I mean, do you bring an opener?
I do my own show, and then I hire an opener sometimes if there's, just to fill up a little space for me, because it's a lot. Some of them demand much longer shows. And I don't want to do more than an hour.
Yeah. I mean, would you revive your one-woman show again?
Yes, but it's, I'm going to rewrite. It needs a big rewrite. And that's something I'm going to work on in the next several months.
What about different parts of Europe? Have you obsessed with some places?
Yes. I've never been to Ireland.
What? Okay.
I've never been to Spain. I've never been to Portugal.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't been to Morocco yet.
Me either. Africa, that's high on my bucket list.
I really want to go.
You can do Spain and Portugal in one trip. I mean,
and
Spain and Morocco. I mean, you could just like zip on down on the ferry.
Yeah. And there's more of Italy that I want to see. And I've never been to Greece.
Oh. You would love all these
places. I
really
want to go to Greece.
If you love Italy, you'd love all these places.
And I also want to go to Eastern Europe. I want to go to Prague and Budapest, and I'd like to even see Czechoslovakia, maybe Poland. I mean, there's stuff I want to see.
I know you were married for a while.
And Croatia.
Oh, yeah. Croatia's great. I've been there like five times.
I was married for 25 years, Mike.
So 25 years. It's a long time. But
it's a long time.
You was the traveling... Do you have kids? Do you have like a,
I have one daughter.
You have daughter. Okay. So that
I have stepkids, but as far as like someone whom I've raised and we've lived together is I have one daughter.
Okay.
Yes.
So I was getting to, that's probably why, I mean, I'm assuming that's why more of the travel's coming now than it did in the past. Or did you take the kid with you?
Places? No, I never took her. Okay. No.
Okay, good.
Never took her, but when she was very young, I definitely slowed down.
Sure.
For a while. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is like,
and when she was back at school, it was easier.
Are you excited about this new chapter of your life? I mean,
yes,
it's got to be great, right?
As a matter of fact, it wasn't really quite an epiphany, but this new feeling that I don't have a lot of work that's coming up. And a lot of times my MO is like, oh, I don't have work coming up, you know? Right now I feel like my life is like a tabula rasa. It is this blank slate that almost anything can happen. It just feels like I feel like there are a lot of possibilities right now.
Oh, that's great. Are you and Chuck? Are you living together, or are you just like as?
We are not living together as yet.
Okay.
We're talking about it.
All right. Well, travel's a good test.
Are you in a relationship?
Yeah. We're living together here. So.
Oh, and how long have you lived together?
3 years. 3 years.
And how's that going?
Good. Good. We just moved, which is very stressful, as you know.
Oh, where are you now?
We're in Redondo Beach.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I'm kind of close to the Comedy Magic Club, not too far.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah, we're actually looking at, we don't even know where we want to live.
this is what I wanted to get to. I mean, a big thing now, I talked to a lot of expats on this show. Could you see yourself living in like in Italy at some point?
Yes, the only problem would be I'd be very far away from friends and family.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that would be hard, but I could definitely see myself easily navigating. Oh, yeah. I would love it.
Would Chuck be open to something like that?
In some ways, yes, but he has two grown kids.
Oh, okay.
And he doesn't want to be far from them either.
Are they local in LA?
They live in LA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That'll do it.
Yeah.
But this is not a bad place to come back to. It's just expensive.
Well, you mean the United States?
No, LA. I mean, if you have friends and family, our community is here, you know?
Yeah. And I live in Santa Monica and it's going to be very, very almost not impossible, but very hard to find for us to find a place that's big enough for the two of us.
Yeah.
And affordable in Santa Monica. So we're going to have to look at other neighborhoods.
Yeah, I know. I'm finding that out with this big move. We hadn't moved in a while. And then when you start to look at the new rents and you're like, oof, wow.
Yep.
Oh boy.
Where did you live before Redondo?
I was in Santa Monica.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I know. Okay. So.
And do you like Redondo?
It is. Yeah, I do. It's very, you know, it's much quieter and, you know, it's very suburban, but I don't care as
much. Does your girlfriend like it?
Oh, she's been here much longer than me. So, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I moved into her place at first.
Oh, that's right. Yes, this is all coming together. We talked in the hallway.
Yeah.
Yes. It's, you're Mike Siegel.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Do you have any gigs coming up? You want to promote anything you can plug?
I'm going to New York next in a few weeks, and I'm going to be at Gotham.
Oh, great.
Which I'm very excited. I haven't performed in New York in so long. So I should be there on November 29th. And other than that, I'm in town for a while, just doing a lot of writing.
Oh, that's great.
And and just doing the local, the clubs.
Writing for your, writing for yourself or writing shows?
Writing for myself. Well, Chuck and I wrote a screenplay together, so we're shopping that.
Oh, great.
And I'm starting to write I'm writing my book.
Okay. Go on. Is this a memoir?
It's a memoir.
Okay. Nice.
And then I'm going to start rewriting my solo show. So
nice.
That's enough.
I think that is. That's pretty
good.
That's
plenty.
Wait, was Chuck a writer? Was he in the business?
He for 40 years he was a sound mixer.
Oh, okay.
On set sound mixer, and he also was a writer, and he's written like 10 screenplays. He's an excellent writer.
Oh.
Has placed in the Nickel screenplay writing contests several times, and he's a very good writer.
Wow,
really good. So
what an interesting fella. Like to be,
say it again.
Interesting fella. And
he is an interesting fella.
From the photos I saw, great head of hair. Right? He looks, God, you know, I'm at that age now. I notice guys' hairlines and you're like, God, that bastard. Look at that mane.
It's gold. I know. He's got great hair. And, he's a good guy, but very different. He's from Texas. I'm from New York, you know. Very different.
That is.
Very different.
Have you been to Texas with him? Is he taking you to his hometown?
I've not. I did meet some of his family here. They came out, so I met a few of them. He's one of eight kids. He's Irish Catholic.
Oh, yeah. That'll
family,
do it.
So
when you go back to New York, what's the first thing you eat when you go back to New York?
Bagels, pizza.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, those are the two. Top two answers right there.
Yes.
What were the clubs you started? Were you a comic strip person when you were there?
I was a Catch and comic strip.
Okay. I lived there briefly in the 90s. So.
And then Comedy Cellar also. But I was never an improv act.
Man.
And then were all these other little satellite type of, you know, tertiary clubs where we all worked, which were fun too. Like the Dugout and Who's On First. I remember that. And they were just all sorts of great places to work.
I remember flying.
It was a great place to come up.
I always describe to younger people that flying pre-9/11 and flying post-9/11 were two much different things. They only know post-9/11. Do you remember like people coming, greeting you at the gate?
Yes. Yes.
Right. And just like breezing through security, like it was no big deal. And God,
I mean, was there even security? There wasn't security.
There was in Israel. Israel,
in Israel there was, but you here, you just walked to your gate.
Oh, man, those are good times. Good times, and getting a blanket and food.
I know.
Have you always been a good flyer, or like never had a problem?
Yeah, okay. I've always been fine with flying. I mean, I don't love turbulence reminds me that, wait a second,
that you're
we're
in the
30,000 feet up.
Yeah.
But in an odd way, I relax a lot when I'm flying because it's very apparent that there's nothing I can do about anything.
Right.
You know, I have to relinquish all responsibility, which is great. and just relax. It's all out of my hands.
Yeah, I always tell people, like, you know, when they complain on the cruises, if weather diverts us or something like that, and just like, it's like, think of it as an airplane. You know, once you step on board, it's out of your control. I know you want to leave or something, but we can't. I know you want to go over here or you want to do this, but if the captain says we can't, you know, so
that's right.
For people who are control freaks, it's a tough thing to do.
When's your next cruise?
I leave tomorrow, actually.
Oh, where are you going?
I'm going to Puerto Vallarta. And then I pick up a ship there and I take it right back to LA. So a very quick
four-day,
yeah. See, those you could handle.
Do you like them?
The shorter, the better. I mean, as long as the Princess, for people who are listening, this is like an inside comedy thing. But basically, they changed their format and moved us out of the theater this year into the
in
the lounge part of the. But so the weeks got shorter. I do more shows in one night, like three shows in a night, and then a late night
three
one.
Three shows in one night?
3 30-minute sets.
And all different?
No, it can be the same 30.
Oh, good. I can't stand that. Oh, that having to like, forget that.
But the next night has to be a different 30. So it's still only an hour, as opposed to usually if we were on for a long time, we would do two different nights, two different 45-minute sets. So that's 90 minutes, which is
a lot. It's a lot.
And also these,
to have all.
Yeah. And these big theaters, you're talking 800 to 1,000 seats sometimes. So if they're not full, you know, that's even half filled and people are sitting apart from one another. It's like,
it's
comedy death. I mean, you don't hear laughter. People up in a balcony, you don't hear them. And it's
terrible. As Chuck would say, instant death.
Instant death. Exactly. but if they're going to cut the weeks and, not the money. I'll do it.
Right.
Move me to the lounge. Although you don't, you get less respect being in the lounge, I find.
You do.
Yeah. Now you're a lounge act. You're not a big headliner in there, but still the same. You're getting the same act. You know, what am I going to do?
Look at your board up there. Is that all the places that you've been to?
Yeah.
Wow.
That was a gift of I think I'm over 100 countries now.
That's amazing. You've been to a lot of places in South America.
Yeah, most of them. I still got to go to Chile, and I want to go to Northern Brazil. I've been to Rio a couple times, but I want to go to Northern Brazil. I just did Colombia. I still haven't been to. I want to get down to Patagonia and things like that.
My sister did that.
Yeah, I did catch a ship down there once, but I don't really count it. Like I didn't get to explore it that much because that's where you get the Antarctica ships.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so I usually catch them down there in Ushuaia, which is the very bottom tip of South America. It's really wild.
Wow.
But
so tomorrow you fly to Puerto Vallarta.
Puerto Vallarta, I have to stay overnight and then get the ship in the morning.
Right.
And then then 2 days at sea and we're back in LA. So
are you back in LA or Long Beach? Where do you
San Pedro. It comes into San Pedro.
San Pedro, right. Yeah. Okay.
So,
so that's close for you too.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's great.
Great.
So we'll wrap this up because I want to ask you, we'll do a speed round here. What was the, give me your worst flight experience ever? Like whether the worst turbulence, lost your bags or anything, was like diverted, caught in a storm, anything like that?
I would say probably that was turbulence and it was so bad that the flight attendants were in the middle of beverage service and they told everybody to sit down. The carts were not secured and one of the carts fell over. It was just, I think I was holding the hands of the person next to me. would be more accurate.
How about food? We're back to the food now. How about are you adventurous in terms of eating any crazy things? Do you ever do like, I don't know, the insects? In Asia, anything crazy, any weird food you've ever eaten overseas?
I guess not.
Okay.
I mean, now that you ask, I mean, I haven't eaten any insects. I didn't know that was required.
Oh, I've done that in.
You have?
Oh yeah, in Asia.
How was it?
You know what? You could deep fry anything and not know what it is.
I suppose you're right.
Yeah, it tasted crunchy, and I think it was
right
crickets or something. And in Mexico, you can get those.
But it doesn't taste like anything except the batter that's fried,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much.
All right.
And then
but I haven't done that.
I did have guinea pig in Peru, which was kind of.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
But I'm not a big meat eater. So, okay. I mean, I eat chicken and fish and turkey and I wouldn't be eating a lot of different animals.
Okay. So no food poisonings, no anything in overseas? Oh,
not overseas. Chuck and I had terrible food poisoning last year when we after a sushi meal.
In L.A.? Oof. Isn't that the worst?
Oh, boy. It was bad. It was bad. I stayed there. I was at his place for 2 days straight.
Oh.
Yeah.
And you can get through that, in a relationship.
It was great. We took care of each other. It was very bonding.
Any lost luggage? Any ever that have happened?
Yeah, my luggage was actually lost the time before I was in Italy, which was many, many years ago, going to the Amalfi Coast. My luggage did not make it to Naples. And so we went to Positano and they delivered my luggage.
Oh, amazing.
Which was great, but it was not a good feeling. No. I have to tell you. No, I mean, my sister has lost luggage and it's never been found.
Never come back. Any?
Did that ever happen to you?
It got delayed, and I thought it was never going to make it. And that I was in New Zealand. I was getting a ship there.
Oh, wow.
I had to fly from Buenos Aires through Santiago, Chile, all the way to Dunedin, New Zealand, through Auckland. And I was convinced my bag wasn't going to make it. I was just convinced it's not going to, somewhere along the line, it's not going to make it.
Oh, this was just a paranoia?
Yeah. I just had just skepticism. I'm just like, if this bag makes it, I'll be amazed. And then, but it did make it to New Zealand, which was my big worry. And I was like, oh, made it to New Zealand.
Amazing.
I got to pick it up in Auckland. Now I just got to walk it over to the local terminal and get on the, send it to Dunedin, hour and a half flight, no problem. It gets lost on that little leg. And so my bag doesn't show up. I got to meet the ship the next day and I leave. And they're like, oh, well, it's making one other stop to this little small island. And they'll say, we'll send it over there. It's like, there's no way it's going to get to this small island. Now if I'm going to be stuck with nothing. I'm going to be flipping my underwear inside out or something. And somehow, it showed up. They got it to this little island. And
amazing.
Yeah, Air New Zealand. How they screwed it up in the first place.
I know. Like there have been times when my luggage has been lost and they said they've tracked it down with the computer and it's like in some place that it's so obscure. It had nothing to do with my travel plans. I mean, it was like, what made that happen? I don't even understand. But the fact that they can write it, that they can rectify it and get it to you is amazing to me.
How were you unpacking? Did you do carry-on on this trip or did you? Okay, no.
In fact, not only did I not do carry-on.
You took too much.
I bought an empty. Well, I took too few tops.
Okay.
I didn't have enough shirts. And I took too much of other stuff I learned from. But I did bring an empty duffel bag, a zip. And that we filled up with purchases.
Okay. Are you? Because I'm not a big shopper. So do you?
Oh, I'm a shopper.
Are you?
And I hadn't been to Florence in years.
How are you on haggling?
It depends on their place. I can sense when we're not, there's no haggling happening.
Okay.
I think I'm good in the Middle East.
All right. Yeah, I'm bad.
That's a haggleable area.
They expect it.
But
they totally expect it and they're ready for it. I just hate it. I hate the whole song and dance of it. I hate the you go high, I go low.
I know. It's so stupid and you have to walk away.
Right.
And I know. It's such a dance. But anyway, there was no haggling where.
Is there big purchases? You're shopping mostly clothes or is it tchotchkes, like little?
Well, I did buy a lot of gifts for people.
Okay.
Like little things along the way. And then I got mostly clothing and accessories for me, and then some my daughter, and then a birthday gift for my friend Kathy, and a lot of leather.
Yeah, that's what I was going to. I was just going to ask you. The Florence is known for that. You get the leather.
Yes, I got a lot of leather. I got this cool looking bag here.
Ooh, that is cool looking. That is nice.
Isn't that pretty?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I can put a laptop in here too.
Oh, okay.
And got a leather jacket, got some boots, got a couple of belts, got gloves.
How is the exchange rate these days? Is it favorable?
Terrible.
I haven't checked.
Not good. Okay. Not good.
Shoot.
No. Yeah. As you can tell from my fine was €80 on the bus, and it worked out to $93.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's not a very good exchange rate.
Yeah.
And fuck that guy, by the way.
Yeah, they work in, well, you should get your plugs in now. Where can people follow you on Instagram or something?
I have no plugs because I'm like local. I mean, I'm going to be at Gotham in New York.
Okay.
On November 29th. And then I will be at the local clubs, Hermosa Comedy and Magic Club.
Sure.
The Improv. Mostly over the next couple of months.
Great. What about online? Can people follow you on Instagram? Are you that person?
You can follow me on Instagram at Kathy Ladman One.
One. Is there a different Kathy Ladman out there?
I created the first one and then I
ditched it.
Forgot my password and I couldn't delete it. I know it's a very embarrassing story. And then you can go to my website, KathyLadman.com, is where you can find other stuff about me. And that's it.
Kathy Facebook, with a C, everybody.
With a C. Kathy with a C.
Okay.
Yes.
And finally, what do you think all this travel and the places you've been and what you've seen, what has it taught you about the world and people, and how has it changed you? What have you learned?
I think travel is a very important thing, and I know that not everybody can do it. I think it's a privilege to be able to travel, but I think somehow I think it should be made more important. I think that the world would be a more peaceful place if people traveled more, because they would understand how similar we are, and there would be no reason for us to fight and hate each other. There is no reason. We're all people and we're all struggling and we're all trying to have a good time and live and love and eat and laugh. And, you know, it really illuminates our similarities rather than our differences.
That's great. That's perfect. Well, Kathy Ladman, thank you so much for doing this. Stay in the line.
Oh, it was so fun, Mike.
Oh, it was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's great.
Stay in the line. I'll talk to you afterwards. But yeah, I always love seeing you, and it's always a pleasure. And you always make me laugh. Damn it, that
same
anorexic
here.
Joke is great. I tell it to so many people, and I give you credit every time. It doesn't work if I say it, but you know. But
thank you.
It's great. Yeah, KathyLadman.com. Follow her. Go see her when she's in New York or around here or wherever she is. And it's good to talk to you.
Great to talk to you, Mike.
Kathy Ladman, everybody.
I'm Pauline Frommer. I've spent most of my life writing, talking, and thinking about travel. Not just where to go, but how to go in a way that's meaningful. On the Frommer's Travel Show, we explore the trends, people, and ideas shaping how we see the world. If you care about the why as much as the where, I hope you'll join me. You can find new episodes weekly at voyescape.com.